Okay. I'm here as moderator, but there isn't much to moderate. I'm just keeping Genghis under control, which I have some experience with. Genghis is going to talk about the Green Party, about its history. I guess he'll talk for about 25 minutes or whatever, or maybe more, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers. And it should probably be pretty obvious, but even though the language of this whole conference is English, the vast majority of people here are native German speakers, including, of course, Genghis. I'm in the minority, obviously. And so if you want to ask a question in German, feel free to ask it, or any clarification that you don't understand. We also have people who speak other languages that can translate from English to those. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, first, thanks, and good to be here. I had a night drive from Graz, so a couple of hours. I'm a bit wasted. I hope tomorrow it would be a bit better. I will be better on the panel. I will vaguely try to outline the history of the Green Party in Austria, but also with some references to the German Green Party, which I'm not so much into, but I have a few. Still know a few things, and the European Green Party and how they differ, and what might be like some dogmatic core of the party. As to say, I'm a member of the Austrian Green Party, but have been involved with Platypus in the United States, and also with people from Austria. What I will do is basically take my hat of the Green Party and talk a bit how it is structured. I hope you all can hear me also back there. It's fine? Okay. The Green Party was I would say was built in the 80s, basically in the late 70s, early 80s. There came up ideas of building a party out of the 68 movement, the New Left, it was much more like the seizing and a New Left or remaining New Left.
Yeah,
it's recording. Who tried to construct a new project after the energy of the diverse movements of the 68 Young Left. Those people were getting basically older. The revolution was not coming. They needed jobs. They needed a new project. Some with a lot of idealism, some with some pragmatism of how to transfer their activity to a more personal, sustainable future. In Austria, particularly, the Green Movement was built out of some parts of the radical left, some parts of the social democratic left, some parts of more liberal and conservative ecologists, and the ideological link was the ecological question, So you had a very diverse political base, which struggled a lot, especially in the 80s. And when it was carried in the parliament, it started to cut off their links to the radical left as much as to conservative parts. So it became a renewed social democracy in the sense of ecological policy, in the sense of liberalization towards more issues of human rights, about gay rights, LGBT rights, women's rights, right of abortion, peace, questions which are more part of a liberal civil society, but with a social democratic idea of politics. As you have like the 90s, you have already like branches formed, like Young Greens. You have student unions formed. You have like a party building process, which is not just an election, which is just not just an election movement to get into the parliament, but also starting to organize organize interest groups, which is very different from countries like the U.S., where you have a party which branches out to schools, kindergarten, to students, and forms party branches in there. But to be honest, the Green Movement always was weak in forming and organizing that, in comparison to what the old social democracy was capable of. There are, I would say, the historic founding myths were, and I would call them myths, because they were like also by media and the party itself as two event as suggested as two historic events which basically brought together the party. It was like the occupation of a river area which was supposed to build where the state wanted to build the hydropower plant, there were a lot of clashes with the police, and this was like kind of founding event in 84, and already before, like in 79, a movement against nuclear energy, where Austria is one of the only countries in Central Europe and Western Europe which didn't build a nuclear power plant, and it was like this was one of the big successes of the ecological movement prior to the Green Party, and a lot of people out of this movement came and formed the Green Party. So now I think from this remains of the new left today there is not much left, I would say. The Green Party is, as every left liberal and left party, in a process of neoliberalization. Though, like the policy basically remained the same. You have in real politics a transformation of especially the elite of the party, which is like social democracy, but even more like the left party in Germany, tending to organize around government policy, which is neoliberal. So,
do you think it's inherently neoliberal to organize around government policy?
At the moment, yes, because I think there is at the moment there is. I don't see a moment where you break this ideological hegemony, and so whereas I think the social democracy is especially in Austria too more leaning towards austerity policy. You have like in the Green Party you have much more this liberal pseudo-liberal whatever. Idea of individualization, that like it's important. You're not criticizing when you talk about nutrition policy. You talk about consumption and not production. How like food is produced, how labor is organized in agriculture. It's more about your personal individual consumption. And there you have also a transformation of ecological policy, where it's more like this liberal thing. You are, everybody is responsible for climate change. It's about your own behavior. It's not about industry, infrastructure, how transport is organized, such things. I think, and there lies some, I think there is a point where the left within the Greens can access and say, okay, we need to transform towards when we discuss ecology, we need to discuss about how production is organized, from agriculture to transport, public transport, is public transport free, such things. These can be struggles within cities, and so on. I think, the Green Party is overall a result of the pluralization of the party system of the left wing parties in Europe, and is. Is of course to some degree a form of resignation and not knowing where to go. But the Green Party and its history raised a lot of questions. The social democracy of the 40s to the 60s didn't raise questions of feminism, of LGBT rights, of ecology, and turned these questions to a liberal question rather than to a material question. Like, for instance, instead of asking how the right to abortion is linked to a material cause, like that you have to pay for an abortion. This is very expensive. How do young people from countryside afford to have an abortion? Like, how to break such situations and give people also the real right to liberties. So. This is basically, I think, the situation in Austria. I personally, I'm much more involved with the Young Greens, which have been my personal project together with others, forming. If I shortcut it now, I would say it's a project. It's a pre-political project, a training project for young people, learning to campaign, learning to debate, and also do intellectual work with young people. So forming kind of people who know how to organize and how to criticize, and if they go out of this movement, have like the capacities to engage somewhere else. Some will end up in the party, some will end up in some civil society institutions or interest groups, and I'm totally fine with that. I think that's what I'm personally involved in. Last point, I would say, I would talk a bit about the European situation. Overall, I would say the Green Party, though the German Greens are tending to the right, the rest of the party is pretty much pushing at the moment towards the left. when you look at, especially because you look, when it comes to austerity and trade agreements, all these things which we debate at the moment, you have. Especially in the south, Green parties, which are historically a result of the split of communist parties, of Euro-communist parties, but also Stalinist parties, like in Catalonia or like in Portugal, where they are running for a long time together with leftists, pushing the Green Party towards the left. You have also like the situation that the German Green Party lost a lot of seats in the European election, so they are not that powerful than they were like before. The French Greens turned also towards a more left-leaning policy when it comes to austerity, because the old guys like Daniel Cohn-Bendit, who have been like this old 68, they have, you know, maybe he was called Daniel Le Rouge, and now he was Daniel Le Vert, and he became like this. He became establishment basically, and these guys left the party because they retired, and now there is a lot of debate with the left left party in France about the next parliamentary elections and presidential elections, so they will look at how they will align with each other. And yeah, so but the parties, the party itself is very focused on Western and Central Europe and Scandinavia. I think keeping in mind that also the left has a different divides in different political cultures sometimes when you look at Scandinavia, where you have a much more Protestant society. It sometimes differs from the Southern Europe with Catholicism. You see that when it comes to questions of liberalism, liberties. What is kind of interesting, which we need to have a look at, is that not just does the Labour Party in Great Britain gained a lot of members, the Green Party in England and Wales also gained a lot of members. I mean, we have the Young Greens there just doubled from 10,000 to 20,000 members within 1 year. We don't really know why this came up and how we have to deal with it from an organizational level. We will lose, I guess, a lot of members. I guess also a lot will go to Labour Party, and a lot of those who came from Labour Party before Corbyn came. It's yet unclear, but let's see. Well, the prospects of the Green Party, I think, the future of the Green Party is to me totally unclear. In some areas in Europe, it will merge with the left again. In countries like Germany, Austria, and Great Britain, France, it's not clear if it will stay an independent project, let's say in 10-20 years range. And the next couple of years, I think, will be decisive if the parties will if these parties will split or stay a unit and turn towards, like in Germany, a conservative green ecological party, or back to the left, and stay like a small marginalized left-wing party between 5 or 10%, and build a little bit a bridge to like petit bourgeois and like liberal bourgeois and some working class liberal working class people. So yeah, that's I think that's very much it.
Okay.
Time.
So I'm just going to pose a few questions and then afterward open it up to the floor. So I guess the most of the questions focus on the one hand, the relationship of green politics to neoliberalism in general, in terms of a kind of transformation of society, and the other sort of ideologically of sort of green politics and Marxism, or rather a crisis of Marxism. I have the sense that in many respects green politics are about a failure of Marxism, right? And that's what drives green politics, and that therefore green politics are not so much a challenge to neoliberalism as a kind of adaptation to it by parts of the left. And the other thing is, I have the feeling that sort of, for example, in the United States, and which is a conservative, very conservative society by European standards in many respects, not necessarily on the social issues, but the economic issues, green politics has been very successful on the American left in preempting any type of other socialist politics. So the Green Party is the biggest party to the left of the Democratic Party. And my sense is that also people who are Greens in the United States are to the left of where people would be in Europe, and then maybe the Austrian Green Party is more to the left than the German, which is basically saying that the more successful a Green Party is, the more conservative. Would you say that that's fair?
Well, when it comes to, I don't think that election results are a thing which something would says that you're successful. But let's take it as quantitative measure. The Austrian Green Party is much stronger than the German Green Party. When it comes to government involvement, it's the German Greens were much earlier in the government than the German Greens were much earlier in the government than the Austrian Greens. The Austrian Greens were never in the national government, but a lot in the local governments, in city governments. I think you're totally right that it's an adaptation of neoliberalism towards neoliberalism by the left, by Marxism. It's a lot of Marxists built up the party. They were always marginal, I would say, intellectually. But they learned how to organize in the 60s and 70s and 80s. They knew how to build a party. I mean, like, what the central builders of the German Green Party were like Maoists. Some stayed in the party, some left the party in the 90s. And it's like the Kommunistischer Bund was centrally responsible for building the Green Party. They knew how to organize. And now those people who learned to organize and stayed within the party are those who are the most authoritarian within the party and the most neoliberal within the party. That's the crazy thing about it. And
So if this is the pre-political educational project, what is the political education you're giving people and the young socialists?
Young Greens, you mean?
The young Greens, 60s.
Right. No, I mean, of course we teach basically what Marxism, elements of Marxism, what capitalism is about, what class antagonism, what nationalism is, what's the difference between the class question and the national question? How racism, sexism, and homophobia is involved in a capitalist society? How like the European Union is working? How such things? I mean, that's what neoliberalism is about, and what makes neoliberalism specific within capitalism as a hegemonic project.
But you seem very skeptical about the ability of the party you're working through to do anything about it, and you see the party in some ways as an adaptation to precisely those things that you see are bad. So therefore I'm asking, like, what is the political education that you feel people are getting through the Young Greens? If you're telling people, well, these are bad and the Greens are part of it, but join us.
Yeah, of course. That's. I mean, I totally live with this contradiction. I mean, but I don't know better. I mean, I see a lot of radical leftists who stagnate in their sectarianism, and they are pretty much neoliberalized in their own way, in the sense of. That all what they do is about a social distinction from other groups. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Bourdieu, but you can explain a lot of social processes within the left as a form of distinction rather than a form of political organizing or campaigning or whatever for something. So. For me, I think as a training program, let's say it that way, it's a intermediate project. I can't say what comes next, but I think when I think of those people I see within the Young Greens, it's most of them won't end up in the party because there are not enough jobs to end up in the party. It's simply also an economic. Thing that the party is closed for young people, because today's left parties are very narrow, very and they don't give people a future. Also within the party, this is an advantage. On the other hand, like that, you have to look what people will do in 15 years.
Hey, Lori and Theo.
Very early on. Having met you and learned your involvement with the Young Greens, and it was really a sense, and even last year when there was a workshop at the Euro Conference in London, there was a real sense that the Young Greens were to the left of the Greens, that you had, through taking over the Young Greens, you had sort of had access to funding, that it was a very consciously opportunity to reach out to young people through basically resources that the party offers.
Right.
There was a large gap between the Young Greens and the party itself and the politics of the party itself. Now, I feel like perhaps that gap is closing in sort of your own evolution and participation in the party. And so the question sort of, following on Richard's point of sort of, okay, so something still keeps you, even though you recognize the multiplicity of the problems that you're facing, one, I would like you to sort of actually explain more of the actual obstacles that you have, that you're facing now as you're sort of advancing in the party. But two, really, is there a sense still that you think that you could have a group where you could push the party to the left? Is there like a sense of like pushing, because that's the other sort of approach to entryism. At least, like entryism into the Labour Party is considered sort of like you enter the party and you attempt to push the policies of the party to the left. And so, is that like part of the strategy that you're playing, or not at all? I don't know. I'm wondering.
Well, it's a punctual strategy to do that. It's like, okay, we say when we have a campaign for like public transport, free public transport, we say. We force resolutions within the Green Party on this issue, for instance. Try to push them from. They say, okay, we want cheaper public transport. We say we want free public transport, and we fight with them on this issue. When they have an election campaign, we want to push them that they campaign also like free public transport. But we don't say. We're not a project to take over the party. Yeah, in some policies we want to push them, but it's not the main project. It's basically to teach people how to be loyal to each other in a political project, how to align around policies, to be disciplined in campaigning for this. And to to understand the cause and how to learn how to work on the streets with people. So for a campaign is also for us an education project. It's like campaigning means that you need to struggle on the streets why you're claiming things, why you're claiming concrete things, and you have to learn to argue that. Whereas a sectarian politics in the left is not faced with actually talking to people about what you think, and this is very difficult. This is a very that's an experience which is being on the streets can be very, very harsh. I mean, and how to talk to people, especially in a conservative country. So this, to learn this is an important thing, I think. And obstacles. As pushing the Greens towards the left is not the main issue. It's not like social democratic youth. The mission of the social democratic or the socialist youth to involve in the social democratic party is not the same with the Greens, at least in Austria. It's not like, okay, we are the future of the party. Some will might be, but it's not. Okay. There is not this drive.
I was just going to take some more questions.
Sure.
Okay, so I say Theo, Stefan, and someone in the back whose name I don't. You don't know? Well, Theo and Stefan.
I wanted to ask, in retrospect, how do you see the founding conflicts within the Green Movement, for example, the Realos versus the Fugis, if I'm correct, and how people see these conflicts of the past today, and if they see them as a missed opportunity to avoid adaptation? What about this specific history of the struggle inside the Green Party in Germany, more specifically? I don't know. Also in Austria, there was a similar struggle.
I think this split, Realo, realists, and Fundis, fundamentalists, is something what has been made up by media. This was an external description of the Green Party, whereas it was much. Whereas there is a much more diverse there are much more diverse fractions within the party. I mean, you have within the left you have like social democrats and you have Marxists. You had anarchists, a lot of anarchists.
What are the relations right now between the Greens and the Communist Party in Austria?
Communist Party basically doesn't exist in Austria. There is no left-wing party in the government, in the parliament. There is an old left Communist Party which exists out of 2,000 people over 60, something like that. I'm not it's a bit over that's a bit exaggerated, but it basically sums it up. The Communist Party traditionally in Austria has not didn't have a transformation from a Stalinist party to a Eurocommunist party. It stayed until 89 as a Stalinist party. It supported the intervention in 56 and in 68 in Prague. So basically, a lot of communist party members came to the Greens and founded the Greens. So you didn't have, and those who were Trotskyists in Austria. So we had less Maoists and Trotskyists who formed the party. But back to the question, Theo.
Wasn't there a conference of some sort, a foundational conference, where the Realos win or something?
In the 90s in Germany, there was, yeah. Those members who have been members of the Communist Bund were like 40. There was this party congress where 40 members, that 40 delegates left the party. One lives here in Frankfurt and is still very very important intellectual in Germany. That's Jutta Dietfurth. Another one is like Thomas Ebermann, who is who was also a member of the parliament. They left, yeah. But there is still kind of, there in the German Green Party, there still remains a left fraction which is organized, and a liberal section which is organized. In Austrian Green Party, this doesn't exist so much. We don't have like so much fractions. It's very individualized, and it's not. You don't have like you always align with different branches of the party.
Okay, I want to make one notation. As far as I know, the split in the Green Party was not primarily against, not primarily between former.
You're speaking about the German Greens.
Yeah, about the former streams of the New Left, because as Cengiz mentioned, a lot of the communist cadres stayed to the parties and became the most famous politicians, while other people from the radical parts of the New Left. We're organizing much more into what we now call the anti-national or anti-Deutsche
movement. Right.
So it was not that all the communists went out of the Green Party, but some stayed and some took a new approach to radical left.
And there's similar currents in Austria of like an anti-nationalist, anti-Deutsche.
Well, this came a bit later in Austria.
But I want to pose one question. James, you said that the Young Greens were a pre-political group. And I found that to be very interesting because you're a party organization, and you also said that a lot of people won't stay with the Greens because they won't have positions at the party. So my question is, if you are the youth organization of a political party, then how far can you say that it's a pre-political organization? And the people who won't join the party, what's going to happen with them?
Can I add? I mean, pre-political would mean that you emphasize or you want to go into a political stance. So can you maybe explain what's the difference for you for a post-political and to a pre-political stance? Because it seems that you already gave up, throughout the history of the Green. It seems that you gave up the opportunity to become, in a way, political, which could mean, for example, for the Greens to go left.
Well, I guess I learned through Platypus that there is no party at the moment. The only practical approach, I think, at the moment is to be very modest and say, okay, the Green Party and as much as social movements of the left oppose political, and to have at least as an organization to step back a bit and say, okay, how to subvert post politics is to become a training project, a pre-political project, as I put it, is training for politics in a practical sense. It's how to campaign, to debate, to have lectures, and to think about pedagogic questions, how to teach people. I would not say I resignated and we resignated. It's simply that we confess that we don't know what comes next. Politics comes next, yes, of course, but that's a point to be modest, is you don't know what comes next, and it would be like voodoo or something. Huh? We don't know how Europe will economically transform in the next years, what struggles we will have, how violent it will get, how the struggles will come to Central Europe, or if they will come, how neoliberal hegemony will develop in Central Europe. We don't know that. And as long as we don't know that, I don't want to engage like we have Trotskyists in Austria talking all the time about Greece and analyzing the tactics of Tsipras. I don't want to engage in that. I do want to know what happens in Greece, but I don't think, I mean, this is post-political to me. I do want to talk about how to teach people. I do want to know how to train people to be able to campaign for their interests. That's on the one hand very modest. On the long term run, it's a very challenging thing.
So how is that different from a classic reformist social democracy?
Well,
I guess you already said that Armin's question was asked, right?
He said he didn't have a question.
Okay, I can answer your question.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, what is the difference to a revolutionary party in a sense? Because they also revolutionaries have to train their people. Every organization needs to be built.
Okay, but a lot of what you're saying sounds like you're saying, okay, in theory, I'm in favor of building a revolutionary party, but that's not realistic. Therefore, in the present, I'm going to be this left-wing nucleus in a party that I don't really believe in, because that's a political training in the concrete realities of politics. Is that the basic message?
Yeah, that's the basic message. If you have a better idea, I don't know.
More questions?
I missed the part of your presentation, but what I'm here, what I don't agree with what you said is I don't think you can divide practice from ideal or theory, and I think that's what you're doing. How can you teach political practice or revolutionary practice by being part of a left liberal party? I don't think you can divide these two. This has have to go hand in hand, or else political practice will go wrong and it will shift. And that's, I think, how most of the movements failed in their organization and they became liberal left. This is one of the great issues we also have in the movement I come from. You can't divide these two. This is one of the greatest mistakes that political movement make, from my opinion.
Right. I mean, I don't have really an answer to that, but I always disclaim of that theory and practice have to be thought together. That's all fine. But when it comes to practice itself, it's very religious to me. It's like always the search for the real practice. But that's
a
very
theoretical aspect.
But I mean, practice comes from theory, and practice, in my opinion, works the way that you do something and you reflect on that, to criticize that. And theory is not. There is no unity of theory and practice. There can't be in such a society. And the question of theory is to reflect on practice. That's like what is going on in the world, and to criticize and maybe stand aside sometimes. The question of practice is sometimes how to develop people who are able to criticize and reflect and maybe even split off. And practice in itself, I think what is at the moment important is to pose contradictions. And to learn from these contradictions. I mean, like posing something and learn, did it work or didn't? Were we able to challenge something? It's more about how to learn to challenge and to create an antagonism again. Maybe people split off from that and form a revolutionary thing. From a practical standpoint, how to produce a revolutionary situation? Mm-hmm. We can analyze history, but on a practical level, history doesn't repeat itself. And I think every revolutionary moment was different.
Yeah, I agree, but also like to say that practice without theory can easily people who do a lot of you can easily be instrumentalized by even the Green Party itself,
yeah,
or by even any certain situation. This happens a lot by people, even by groups of anarchists. And that's why I think it's really important that these two always go hand by hand. Theory and practice. Maybe sometimes a lot of theory and then practice.
Yeah, but what does this mean?
This means that, like, for example, I would talk from my experience that the people who do the propaganda on the street need to be educated and need to read and learn, not to just start talking about, I don't know, equality without having a very clear political background, and which comes only from learning the theoretical aspects of it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I would not disagree that we don't do that. But the question for me is always like, where is the practical antagonism? How to create that? You need to engage in struggles on the one hand, and you need to teach a theory on the other hand. I mean, there is like, there are basically two theories. There's theory, and there is practical theory, how to engage in concrete struggles like public transport, but also what means revolution on the other hand. I mean, the history of the left, I think, is always related to the people struggled on the anyway. And from a party perspective, it's always how to engage. It's also a question how to engage in it. Working class people were always struggling with a party or without a party. Young people, whatever, for liberties, were struggling, were forming movements. And that's an essential question, how to work with movements. I don't have an answer.
Yeah, I think that it's, this questioning is interesting because it's reminded me of a lot of like what my sort of first few years in Platypus were, which was a few of the young members at that point, young members, we joined in USDS, and it was really the only opportunity that is real intense exposure that I had to activism and to be thinking about ideas about how do you develop organizers, how do you recruit. And at around the same time, we had labor organizer in Chicago also trying to sort of recruit from Platypus. But at the same time, he sort of passed down a lot of like principles of organizing within labor unions. And some of those were more problematic than others. But I still think that what was interesting is that somehow that those experiences were, although ideologically with organizations that I had a lot of ideological disagreements with, that I still learned certain practical things that helped, and so just think about like what does it mean to be an organizer. And of course, being an organizer within Platypus is a very different, it raised a whole series of questions about sort of like, we don't just adapt like labor unions' strategies and tactics. We don't just adapt like taking like party politics tactics, but we also learn a bit of like what not to do in that process of that exposure. So what I think I hear you say is that you are doing this work because you believe that you're training organizers, and that that it is could be right, things could just swing further to the right, or it could be a moment of things swing to the left, and it's sort of how do you mobilize any sort of like spark of, in a way that is not just, you know, that becomes ephemeral. Because basically what we've had, like Occupy, a lot of the most recent things are very ephemeral. There's no way of coagulating them. I guess, but the problem would be that then they get in this context, they would be coagulated to sort of be brought into the Green Party.
Yeah.
Have to think about those relationships, but I don't think in principle there's anything wrong with trying to sort of develop people who are interested in questions of the left into being organizers. Surely we recognize that the left is dead and right, can we actually teach people to think better within that context? What kind of activism? There's no reason why not to engage in sort other forms of activism, but you have to sort of, you will, it will be a constant struggle about what you're doing. And my experience with the SES was a sort of very strange exposure, and it really raised a whole bunch of questions about how I thought about Platypus, and you know, very sort of really had to exit it, just because of the way that identity politics was influencing and was really dominating. But they were basically like the anarcho-syndicalists that were there. Like, it was my actual exposure to anarcho-syndicalist politics, my actual exposure to sort of intersectionality politics. It was really sort of concrete political experience that I had by being there. I couldn't transform the new SES. I had no way of applying what I knew from Platypus to that organization. But it did help sort of think about the future of Platypus. You mean sort of training organizers?
Yeah, I mean, what I mean, what I experienced from previous organizations of Young Greens, which were different than us, you have like people who learn campaigning in the organizations, but and some ended up in universities as professors and whatever. And the question of organizing is not just the question of campaigning; it's also of how to form intellectuals too, like future intellectuals, that you can do a lot of in a pre-stage, that what they read, what they are interested in, say, okay, maybe we should debate this. You can't, I mean, in a youth organization, you can't predict their whole biography, but you can teach some, I would really say, values of that it's not just an individual project, that you need to think of collective action, that it's about discipline, about loyalty, which in an individualized society, in a pseudo-individualized society, where you just have a struggle for your own success, to have at least in mind that politics is something, is a collective process, especially in a milieu of liberal young people.
Stefan has his hand up, but I also had a question.
Yeah.
My question is, from how I understand you, I took that you're trying to raising, to foster, or even to preserve some kind of political consciousness with the Young Greens. And I guess a lesson that the left had to learn the hard way, or maybe didn't learn, is that it's very difficult to pass on this consciousness, and that basically you need some kind of organization which functions as the mediation for that consciousness. But there seems to be a big gap between the Young Greens and the Green Party. And you said also before, also you told me this last year when I visited you at your summer camp, that the Young Greens have changed a lot of times with changing with who the persons on top were, the organizers were. Do you have a plan, or what's your concept for passing on that consciousness, that knowledge that you were trying to build over the last years, if you are not the main organizer anymore?
Okay. Yeah, what I mean, we're in the last 1.5 years, we have been quite thinking a lot, reflecting a lot of organize how to organize our like education itself. We first step was we do education, and we do a very plural left wing education. We talk about Adorno, but we also talk about Gramsci. We talk about Althusser, state theory, and whatever. We invite post operists, whatever. They should learn what movements are out there, what thinkers are out there. Now we're next year, or in the end of this year, we start a training program for trainers. So we educate around 20 trainers who are supposed to go to local groups, and we will try to develop out of this training program a concept. What is to be learned within 1 or 2 years within the organization? and to develop like steps when you come in, what happens to you, how are you going to be engaged in the organization, how you're going to be trained, and how to finally be part of like the board. What do you know? What do you need to know at this in this stage? That's the practical way we try it now.
I had a question.
Maybe that's the last question, okay. Because we have to wrap up.
Okay,
Because one of the speakers
sleep
early, so we have to start.
Okay, sure, absolutely. I mean, I guess my question was, like, you talked about neoliberalism. I'm just sort of curious about the sort of legacy of fascism and anxiety about the far right, and like how that affects your political practice.
Well, we turned a little bit down our activity in anti-fascism. We do a lot of education on the far right. What is the far right? How does it think? What is their ideology? What we turned down our campaigning because we see a lot of people out there doing it anyway. Because we think it's very easy to develop an enemy. With anti-fascism, it's very easy to develop an enemy. There, when you have other questions of like rights for abortion, the enemies are conservatives, not just the far right. You are already in the center of society, the political center of society. You have much more people who have conservative thoughts. It's much more difficult to argue. You need the enemy is not so much clear anymore. It's even within your own people. So when you campaign that, it becomes people need to think more. Anti-fascism is okay. I'm against the far right. Not what? How is it linked to capitalism? How is it linked to crisis? How is it linked to authoritarian personality? You don't need to do the intellectual work when you are anti-fascist. It's just these are assholes done. LGBT rights is the same actually. Like, okay, everybody is for that people can love each other and it's fine. And okay, it's very easy to be for LGBT rights. Yeah.
Okay, so we're out of time, I believe. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You know all the panelists at the other building?